Hello again there, folks. So I wanted to get into something which has been on my mind for a while when I see the sort of the way the discourse is going in Britain, and it's this Tory party and the idea that the Tory party is somehow representative of conservative Britain. That to one degree or another, at least at their heart, they're trying to conserve a quintessentially English life. Or that they will reduce immigration, they'll roll back the SJW, the political correctness, and somehow defend the fabric of the nation and of the people and traditional values, which as a Conservative Party they're supposed to do. And of course they never do. They never seem to hold the line on anything. And a lot of the reasons for this I find, which come out of the centre-right, are just copes, really. It's a way they'll say things like, well, they've been taken over by the SJWs and all that. And sometimes a Conservative Party minister will get caught out. He'll say something politically incorrect and he's instantly thrown under the bus. So in that regard, they do bend the knee to what we would call the left, the new left today. But at the same time, the overall structure and reason for the party isn't that at all. And I think that there's what it reveals is the expectations of what the party should be doing by people who are now in the Northeast as well, who vote Conservative, and what the party actually is. I think the two things are completely opposed to each other, just as much as, say, working class white people in the North who continue voting Labour, even though Labour despises them. I think there's something else at play over on the centre-right, over on the other side of the sandwich, which is that what the Conservative Party actually is completely against the idea of conserving anything. And so with that in mind, we look at an interesting article from Open Democracy, which isn't in any way neutral. It's a proper progressive kind of site. But nevertheless, there's some interesting articles here, some interesting facts, which are beyond the political bias, if you like. So it says, in recent years, the Tories have relied increasingly on a small number of wealthy individuals. Last night, the Prime Minister was reported to have been seeking to raise £30 million, mostly from city funders, to counter Labour's donations from grassroots activists and trade unions. In the first week of 2019, so this is on the run-up to the general election, the Tories raised more than £5.6 million in large donations. Labour took in under £220,000 over the same period. Boris Johnson has attended at least six leaders group meetings. Now, this term leaders group is key to Conservative funding. And I always believe if you follow the nose and you go after the money, you're going to find out what's at the core of all of this. As have dozens of present and former senior government ministers, often at official government residencies. 60 leaders group donors are collectively worth at least £45.7 billion. The Tory party is now wholly unrepresentative in any way of the UK population. Its source of funds is so restricted, said Coppola, and because they are so dependent on this small group of donors, Tory party policy is going to be skewered. Now, in the case of the kind of people who are behind this article and the left, it would be much more ideological. And the thing that I find interesting about the Tory party is, and I've said it for a long time, they are just whores at the end of the day. So what we can see here is this interesting diagram of who donated what to the Tory parties, and you can see that finance and investment are by far and away the biggest, and then all of the smaller bubbles coming off represent people and the size of their donations to this is the leaders group, all of it. And so you can click around on this, as I have for quite a while, and you can see who's donated. Now the key here is we want the Tory party to actually conserve things. When people are voting for the Conservative Party, Let's just take your typical English village in the south where they all vote Conservative, or in the north now where we voted to have fewer immigrants. We don't like the political correctness. We don't like seeing everything swallowed up in concrete, and all of these houses going up everywhere. We don't like having foreigners everywhere. So this is what the people voted the Conservatives for, and to one degree or another, the Conservatives said they would listen. It's implicit that if you're a Conservative Party, you are then going to conserve, the clue is in the title, the traditional society, the traditional people, the traditional culture. But when we look at the people who've actually got the Tory party by the balls, and then you see that actually they've got no interest in this whatsoever. Just to take a couple of examples here, I mean, does Edward Isler, founder of Isler Capital and former co-head of securities at Goldman Sachs, does he have an interest in protecting the fabric of a small village in Somerset or wherever that voted for the Conservative Party to maintain and protect their way of life? The fact is, no, he doesn't. He doesn't whatsoever. Does Dr. Maurizio Bragagini, chairman of CEO of Tratos, does he have an interest in making sure that your village stays nice and idyllic and that your way of life stays the same, that you don't get overrun by foreigners? Nope, no, he doesn't. Does Arne Gross, global head of fixed income sales for BNP Paribas Corporate Finance, have any interest in making sure that your kids don't become outnumbered by people from all over the world in their schools? No, he doesn't. Nothing whatsoever. Does Reid Griffith, co-founder of Tetragon and head of its investment committee, founding partner of Polygon, former CEO of the European office of Citadel Investment Group, does he care fundamentally that you're worried about becoming a foreigner in your own town, in your own city? No, he doesn't. And the problem that you've got is that on the centre right, they kind of worship the idea of capitalism. That's what it's all about. So here you begin to see that in this thinking of the centre right, there's a kind of paradox. It's an incoherent worldview, because the people with actual power in the Tory Party have no interest whatsoever in preserving anything because it's bad for business. And just to sort of use an example here, we can zoom in on construction, which was the second or third largest contributor. So various different construction firms have donated to the Tory parties, and therefore they're going to want something back on their investment. They're not voting for the Tory parties for nothing. You know, it's a quid pro quo. They're going to help the Tory parties get into power, and then for that, they are going to want something back. And what they want back is construction. They want to be able to build houses all over the place because that's good for business. That's what drives them. And if you look at Mark Banford, director of eight companies within the JCB Group, he donated £1.5 million since 2010. So let's just take a second here. Let's just say the Tory parties actually brought in a policy which would reduce immigration to the tens of thousands that they used to promise. Now, in a country like in Britain, where we have a below replacement birth rate, this would actually be a nightmare for these construction companies, because we would have a glut of housing because there's simply the population is on the decline. So there's no need to build any new housing. There'd be a lot of housing going, and the price of property would be falling. In actual fact, of course, what we see is that under the Tories, immigration has actually gone up, and that there's houses going up all over the place. And so when you see that Mark Bamford here has been donating, and the other, it's the most dominant, one of the most dominant nodes on the network is the construction companies donating to the Tories. Now, they don't want to see immigration reduced. And if they did, if you had some sort of Tory renegade pop up and say, well, I'm actually going to do this. A prime minister got in, he's a bit hardcore, and he said, well, I am going to make sure that immigration goes drastically down. These boys here, I would see, they would be really bad for business. They'd lose a hell of a lot of money. And so what you'd find is that they'd pull their funding from the Tory party, and the Tory party would be weaker for it, because at the end of the day, they're going to represent business and the interests of business over the people of this country, or they'd be knackered as a party. And you move on, you see Anthony Bamford of the JCB Construction Empire has given more than £5 million to the Conservatives since 2010. The Ferrari-driving, private jet-owning, yacht-sailing billionaire, who has personally donated £80,000 to Boris in the last year, is estimated to be worth over £4 billion. He'd be worth a little bit less if mass immigration into the nation was actually capped. And this is just the construction side of it. You've also got finance, global finance, who wants to see labour and money move around the planet with as much ease as possible. You've also got the manufacturing sector, which was also a huge node on the network of Tory donors. They want to see wages suppressed. They want to have low wages, and you do that once again by flooding the country with as much labour as you can, with as many people from elsewhere. You've also got all of the supermarkets, all of the retail, all of these things donated to the Tory party. And so where we end up, if we go back to the sort of the standard village who votes for the Tory party, what do they actually get out of this? And the fact is, what they get out of it is concrete retail parks and foreigners all over the place, and their way of life being completely destroyed. And in many parts of it, they can't really get out of it, because if you wanted to call this out, you'd be called like a leftist, you'd be called a Marxist, you'd be called a communist, because they're trapped in this problem here where it's assumed that capitalism is also conservative in nature. That to support capitalism, to support big business and free markets and all of that, that it is somehow inherently conservative, that it'll protect your way of life. But it doesn't. It obviously doesn't. And you can see it just by what the Tory party does and who funds the Tory party. And so you either have to say, well, in the end, I just don't care about local identities, the fabric of the nation, the traditional dominant group of the nation, the religion of the nation. The identity doesn't matter to me. What does is consumerism and global capital. You can make that argument, or you can say, well, actually, what matters to me more is my little village, which I want protected. I enjoy living there. I want to stay living there. Well, the problem is you don't have a political party if that's the case, because the Tory parties right now, Boris Johnson is going to, he's shredding all of the planning laws to streamline the process. Of course he is, because they are people funding him. So the question is, which side of that dichotomy do you sit on? How do you, like, as a world view, to be both avowedly capitalistic and at the same time expect that your place in the world is going to remain untouched by the forces of globalism, whether it's demographic change, cultural change, or seeing the countryside get concreted over for retail parks and the high-rise skyscrapers to house everybody, which is all part and parcel of the big business. Like, these things run directly against each other. And what people will say in response to this, well, they'll say, you're far left, you're a Marxist. Well, I'm a nationalist. But just in the case of the when you call out that, they'll say, well, this is all corporations and this is all big business. They've got themselves entangled in government. I support local businesses, the self-employed. So that's fair enough. But then we go back to our little village here, and you can see in this scenario there will be a local businessman. He will have traditional butchers there, and he voted for the Conservatives because he's got a good way of life and he wants lower taxes. Now, the problem that he's got is that sooner or later there's going to be an Asda superstore arrives down the street, and it's going to put him out of business. And the Tory parties aren't going to do anything because the giant retail organisations, companies, they voted for the Tories as well. So again and again, we see that what like the Conservative voter actually wants is at odds with what the Conservative Party actually is. And it seems to me people are going to have to make a decision, because this is one of the reasons why the Conservative Party and movement in general is completely useless, because it's stacked against itself. It's incoherent. You simply can't expect your village to remain nice and intact, and your kids to remain a majority in their own classrooms, when at the same time the party that you have representing you is on the side of the forces which want to see it all concreted over. It's as simple as that. This is an incoherent worldview which is completely bound to fail. So thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.